Well, good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. If you would all please stand and hear our call to worship today from Psalm 24, the Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you bring us here this day as we look towards that truth of your Son's dying for our sins and being resurrected for the dead, giving us hope in you for all eternity. We pray as you greet us here today that we would worship you in spirit and in truth in accordance with all your goodness and all your purposes. And we pray this in your Son's name. Our first reading of the day will be from Psalm 16, which speaks to Christ's resurrection. This is a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God. In you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. There are drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Thus is the reading of God's holy, perfect, always preserved word. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. And I did skip over our psalm reading today, so let us stay in our pew hymnals and turn to page 825, and we'll read Psalm 110 as a congregation. I'll read the regular print, and then we'll read together the bold print. This is a Psalm of David, written about Christ. Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Great in holy majesty, from the womb of the dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It is at your right hand. He will crush kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from the brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Amen. Now let us turn in our pew Bibles for our New Testament reading, our second scripture reading, that great letter from Paul to the Corinthian church. Church which was having its difficulties, and so Paul saw fit to write this letter to them. And it is also the great description of the resurrection that we have in the letters of Paul. And so if we turn to page 962, we'll start at verse 50 through the end of the chapter. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and always preserved word for his people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the sure truth of the resurrection, and that one day we will be raised up incorruptible for all eternity in Christ. We will cast off these mortal bodies and be raised just as Christ was. Give us wisdom to hear your word in all power and all truth in your Son's name. Amen. And I do want to read the first verses as well, which lay out the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians 15. One of the more succinct passages laying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and this his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So, friends, we gather this day understanding that that Paul here is revealing, as he says, a great mystery. A lot of us love a good mystery. So this is a good day to be here. Our future resurrection is explained by Paul not in great detail, because there's just so much that we can't know. But in good enough detail to give us a sure hope and confidence in Christ's victory over death, Satan, and sin. We will see how he triumphed over corruption and death, and how this triumph works a thankful, joyous heart in us as we work out our salvation. And so when we look at these verses 50 through 53, we see that Paul describes our resurrection, and that this resurrection demands and requires our transformation. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, our flesh and blood on this earth are corrupted by sin. From the time of Adam's sin in the garden until today, our bodies and even the whole earth groan because of this corruption that's in all of us, the sin that grows. And it's worked its way through our whole system. The effects of sin are systematic in our body and soul. They're systemic. They're everywhere, causing us to be sinful in all of our thoughts and attitudes and actions and all that we do or think. Even as we've been born again in Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit and trusted in Him in faith, we still have the effects of sin in many. And it's one of the catechism questions that ask, you know, why, if we're born again in Christ, it's one of the catechism questions in the study guide. Why is it that we have to die? If we've been born again in Christ, why do we have to do this? Well, the body is still corruptible. It still has the effects of sin, the poison of sin. So we see that this corruptible body needs to be transformed. It needs to be changed. And we also see that the mystery of Christ's resurrection is being revealed. He tells us that dead or alive, we will be transformed, because some of us may be here when He comes back. We don't know. Certainly it's been 2,000 years since His death, and He has not come back yet, but one day He will. And there will be those who are alive. And even they will be transformed. And this transformation, how is it going to be done? Well, it's going to be done in a blink of an eye. It's going to be done so quickly we don't even see it. It's going to be imperceptible. The blinking of an eye being the quickest thing we can think of that happens with our bodies, and that is going to be how quickly we are transformed. It's not going to be a process, really. It's going to be a boom. Christ blows His trumpet, and then we're all raised up with incorruptible bodies. And that's exactly how Paul describes this, that Christ is going to, there's going to be a trumpet blast or something akin to a trumpet blast. This is how Matthew puts it. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other end. So it is here that we will see that this perishable body must put on unperishable. It will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. Our corruptible seed, which began in Adam because of Adam's sin, is buried and died with Christ on the cross. And it's raised up to incorruptibility and eternal life. Paul describes what happens as best as he can, as that which is planted necessarily dies. A seed is planted and it grows up, but the seed dies, and then a great flower or tree comes from it, and the fruit is born from it. And the seed and the tree and the fruit are, I mean, you wouldn't even imagine that tree came from that tiny seed. So it is with our resurrection bodies. They're different. It's never happened before. So how does Paul describe something like that other than as he did? And yet, point two, we'll see that Paul is pointing out this great victory of Christ over death. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory, O death. Where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This news, this new news of resurrection power and hope is old news. This is what was foretold. First off, it was foretold back in the garden, where Eve was told, and the snake and Adam, that the seed of Eve would be bruised by the serpent. Yet the serpent would be crushed by his head would be crushed by the seed of Eve. It's the very first proclamation of the gospel in Scripture, and it beautifully proclaims Christ's death and his resurrection. And yet here we also read, this is from Hosea and Isaiah, "Death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is your victory, O death, where is your sting?" This was foretold in the prophets, thousands of years after Adam's sin in the garden, and the proclamation of that proto-gospel which spoke of Christ crushing the head of Satan. And what this is saying here is that our incorruptible bodies, sin cannot poison us anymore. It is sin that brought death. Sin is the poison of the serpent that sent death into the world. And because of that sin, death reigned over the children of Adam, until Christ came. And even more, when God gave the law, that was wonderful and gracious, and the law is holy, but it also revealed our sin even more and more and more. And the law is holy, but it's also our judge. It reveals our wickedness, and it demands our judgment, because we cannot uphold the law of God. That is not something we're capable of doing in our flesh. Yet we know that Christ in his humanity came and fulfilled that law perfectly. And he had to come as a man, as the Catechism well teaches, because we are men. And a perfect sacrifice requires a perfect man. And so Christ fulfilled that law we could not, and went to the cross, died for our sins, and then, because he's also fully God, he was raised for our justification. God saw the propitious sacrifice of Christ, meaning God poured out his wrath on Christ for our sin. And he looked at Christ and he was satisfied, because that is the perfect sacrifice. And he was raised for our justification. And so this is the joy we even have at a Christian funeral. Because we know the surety of our sin being paid for. And this resurrection being our hope. No more does the law reveal our sin and judge us. Because Christ fulfilled that law. And we are righteous because of Him. We are justified in Christ. Death is done. It is the last enemy. It is destroyed. And we can sing with the psalmist that mercy and gladness shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Christ is the seminal event in the history of the world. This is why we're here every Sunday. We give it special attention this day every year. But there have been over 1,000 resurrection Sundays since Christ was raised from the dead. And we rejoice in that. And this great victory of Christ through His resurrection makes us labor with thankfulness. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always about the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And that's how we started this chapter, if you recognize it. But with the word vain. They've not believed in vain. In verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 15. And now he's speaking to them that their labor is not in vain. Our victory has been secured through Christ's work, and the results of this victory is that we are to be resolute, fixated on and in Christ as His people. We look to Him. We seek Him. We worship Him. And He is our hope. And we are to be anchored in Christ. Paul tells us here, steadfast and immovable, anchored, rooted, grounded in Christ and His resurrection power. Nothing can take us away from Christ. If we are in His hands, if we're in the Father's hands, no one can steal us from Him. Our salvation is secure. We cannot lose it if we have truly trusted in Him and Him alone. No one can take us out of His hands, not even you or I. Can overpower the omnipotent strength of our God. And because of this, because we keep our eyes on Christ and we're anchored to Him and His resurrection power, we are bursting with fruitfulness. We will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, love, joy, patience, faithfulness, self-control. We can't but bear fruit. We will bear fruit. It's not a necessary part of our salvation whatsoever. It doesn't earn us merit, as we speak about often. But the truth of the matter is we can't bear fruit unless we are in Christ. A good tree bears good fruit. And we are satisfied with this knowledge of Christ. knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So much of life is vanity. It's window dressing. But this knowledge of Christ and the truth of His Word and the power of His resurrection are things that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus and give us satisfaction, to give us peace beyond understanding. Other knowledge is fleeting. I learn new stuff on occasion and most of it's not worth remembering. But the knowledge of Christ satisfies us. And even as it satisfies us, we'll never fully come to the complete and total knowledge of everything about our great Lord and Savior, which, because of His immensity and perfections and greatness, but we will still be satisfied with what we do know. And so, brothers and sisters, first application is we need to listen for the trumpet blast of Christ. We need to watch. Jesus told His disciples, watch. Watch for what? Watch for Him. Not for the Antichrist, as so many do. Up their paper, they read about red heifers and all sorts of other things that they might see happening in the Holy Land or somewhere, and they're looking for the person who's going to oppose Christ, and we're to look for Christ and Him alone. He's going to crush the Antichrist. Is already defeated. Let us look for Christ and listen for that great day. When He defeats for all eternity all of His enemies, puts them under His feet, makes them His footstool, as the psalmist says. So we need to listen for Christ, a trumpet blast, not for the Antichrist or others. And we need to be satisfied in our labors in the Lord. We need to know that the Lord looks down upon us, and even our most feeble attempts at pleasing Him are blessed. Even our sin-filled works in this world, Christ will, as a loving God and Father, we'll look to them and pat us on the head. We need to be satisfied that our work is pleasing to God. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit according to His Word. So, brothers and sisters, we live in a day where people believe they can defeat the corruption of their face, their bodies, their skin, whatever, and prolong their lives. But we know that God has appointed our lives to be 70, 80 years, maybe a little more for some, on account of the wickedness of human sin. And while this is bad news, And it's no wonder that so many without Christ hope in so much futility that they can decorate themselves and cause themselves to live forever, they think. We, however, have a sure hope. Our hope is in Christ and nothing less. And one day, our bodies, in whatever level of decay we find them, they're going to be raised up in perfection. Our diseases, our warts, our imperfections will be swallowed up in victory. When that trumpet blast, we will shout, we will sing, we will rejoice with the Lord of glory, with no sign of our sin, diseases, or decay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you for the sure hope that one day all of our sins and imperfections will be gone, swallowed up in you, Jesus. We pray that you would continue to work in us. Bless the fruit of our labors, that they would be pleasing to you and glorify you, and just help us to understand the immensity of your resurrection. The catastrophic awesomeness of your destruction of death, Satan, and sin. And help us to worship you every day, not just today, but every day, as you deserve, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your Son's awesome name. Amen.